We're going to start in Luke 4:18 and also turn to the book of Romans while I'm doing this. You know how I like to hear pages turning, right? Thank you. What a great worship service today. Goodness sakes, I love that. It's so fun. Such a wonderful part of us gathering together as a church group, as a body of Christ, brothers and sisters, each of us a part of the body, and what a blessing that is. I love that very much. Also, I want to just say a little bit while you're turning to those scriptures that we have a prayer meeting on every Monday night, and it's open to anybody and everybody from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock. We have prayer in here, and it's not anything structured. We play some music, and we just come in and pray at your own leisure. Come and go in between 6 and 7, just however you want. But that's open. If you're having a bad week or you just want to connect with God alone in a holy place, not that your shower or your living room can't be holy when you're praying in there, but there's something about, to me, being in here with that music going and just joining together with other believers in prayer. So you can come up here on Monday nights. Wednesday nights we have class. We have a Genesis class that we're going through in the what we call the living room. Wednesday night starts at 7. Pastor Temple is preaching over here in the sanctuary. It starts at 7. Of course, we have Royal Rangers. We have the girls. What was the girls called? I'm so sorry. Girls of? No. But anyway, we have girls meeting, and they do some wonderful stuff. Very fun. And then we have the youth across the street as well. So Wednesday night. So, sometimes we don't say enough about stuff like that, and so I want everybody to know about that. Luke 4:18, however, says this. This is Jesus, and he's reading from the Old Testament, but he's reading this about himself in one of the synagogues there. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed." Jesus was anointed to set free those who were oppressed. Today we're going to talk about that freedom. It seemed like a good weekend to discuss freedom. Amen. Happy Independence Day. Now, one of the things that I've been praying about and studying about is freedom from is what this is entitled, because it's important that we realize what we are free from. Even in America, in 1776, America claimed independence from Great Britain because of taxation without representation. They tried to have a monopoly and total control of the shipping and importing. The British officers apparently were treating the colonists terribly, and there was just total immunity for the British officers. They received no discipline whatsoever, so American colonists were treated terribly. It was a tyrannical rule by the British government in forms of laws and taxes, just, unhuman type treatment. And America wanted to be free from these things. Remember what I'm talking about? Remember that in history class? Declaration of Independence. You know what? The Declaration of Independence actually lists a list of grievances that Americans had with Great Britain and the government that they were trying to oppose upon us and oppress us, right? Have you ever read all of the Declaration of Independence? You don't have to raise your hands, but let me say this. I challenge you this week, preferably this weekend, bring up the Declaration of Independence and read it to your kids. Read it to your grandchildren because of this. It's important that we know from what we've been freed to really appreciate and live in the freedom that we get to live in. What are we freed from? Because when we talk about liberty or when we talk about freedom, it seems like there at one point was a period of bondage. Somewhere in the past, we were in bondage and we were free. That's what that means. When you're free, we're freed from something. And it's important that we realize that we are free from. In the case of the United States, we're tyrannical and unfair, prejudiced dictatorship of another country. We didn't want that. We wanted to do things freely here in America. And it's important that we realize that. Now, there are still rules that apply, even though we experience a freedom in this country that most countries do not experience. And I'm very thankful for that. Lives were, you know, spent for this freedom. And I appreciate that. And I'm free. However, I still have to drive legally. We have to marry legally. Who laughed at that when I said drive? I do. I drive legally. No, I'm just teasing. You have to drive legally still. You got to get married. You still have to pay taxes, all these things. But we live in a very, very free country. Now this, when we think about the things that we've been freed from, it doesn't diminish the freedom, the blessing of being free. As a matter of fact, to me, it enhances it because now I understand it. Here's what happens when you don't understand from what you've been freed. Everything. If you don't teach our kids and our children, the generation after generation, they think that you live in the land of the free. You can do whatever you want at any given point in time. Freedom. Just do whatever you want, right? Does it seem like we're headed in that direction? Oh, we're just free. Yeah. But there's still moral codes. There's still laws. There's still things that we need to pay attention to, even though we live in a very, very free country. And I'm thankful for that. We celebrate free speech. But if you practice that right outside my bedroom window at 2 o'clock in the morning, I might have something to say about your freedoms all of a sudden. Amen? Here's the deal. Write this down. When you do not relate your freedom to what you've been freed from, your freedom begins to lose value. And when your freedom begins to lose value, you are now in danger of repeating that bondage over again. Right? When we remember, or when we try to imagine from what bondage that we have been freed, we experience a greater appreciation of that liberty. Just like this weekend, I think about the life that they must have gone through, the early colonists that migrated to America over here, and the terrible life that must have been under the rule of an unfair government, and we wanted that freedom. But when I imagine that and think about it, I can more genuinely celebrate Independence Day. I can feel better about what I understand about being free. As Pastor Keith mentioned earlier, the Israelites did something like this too. There was a memorial set up for the Israelites when they finally were freed from 400 years of slavery in Egypt. They set up this memorial so that they would remember and they could teach their kids and their kids and the next generation all what it was like to be in slavery. And here's what they did. The meal that they served, they talk about the Passover, was actually a pretty complicated meal. And there are several food groups, there are several things that they eat and partake of that distinctly and specifically remind them of slavery. Just like bitter herbs is part of their Passover meal, to remind them of what the ancestors went through and what God did for them to free them. Okay? we don't have just an overarching freedom of everything. We are specifically free from something, and it's important to realize that. Now, let's use that same logic for our spiritual freedom. Okay? What spiritually have we been freed from? That way, we will better appreciate the sacrifice that was paid for our freedom. Amen? Amen? Because also in spiritual freedom, we can't just say, oh, I'm spiritually free. I can do whatever I want to. I can live however I want. God's made me free. That's not how that works. There are still guidelines, but there's a wonderful freedom. If we understand that freedom and what we've been freed from, we will better be able to appreciate our freedom and the blessing that that is. Romans 8. Paul talks a lot about this, actually, in Romans and Colossians, especially in Romans. We'll start with chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, he says, there is now no condemnation. And this condemnation isn't an inward when you feel condemned by somebody or the Holy Spirit or something. This condemnation is an adverse sentence or a guilty verdict, right? He says, therefore, there is now no guilty verdict for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin is this verdict of a guilty charge of disobedience. The law of death is the punishment and the just punishment for breaking that law. We've been freed from all charges, folks. We've been free from all penalties due to all of the mistakes, all of the sins, all of the rebellions that we would otherwise be guilty of. He writes in Colossians 2, verse 13, when you were dead in your transgressions, spiritually dead in your transgressions, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. So he canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against you, which was hostile to you. These are those guilty verdicts that our enemy, that Satan comes up and says, you've done this, there's no way God can use you. You've done this, you're guilty of this. We have been freed from that. He canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against you, us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way and he nailed it to the cross. Let's go back to Romans 8. I'm going to tie a lot of this in together here in just a minute. Romans 8, verse 14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Sonship, that's us, sons and daughters. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. Look at it again. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. What did we get? You have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. We've been freed from spiritual slavery. We've been freed from fear. And with our adoption, we're free from fatherlessness and free from abandonment. The spirit that we have received is a spirit of freedom that affirms our place in the family. Let's go to Romans 6 and start with verse 6. He writes more about freedom. Just kind of soak in these scriptures, and I'm going to bring it all together here in just a minute. Knowing this, he says, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Verse 14, for sin shall not be master over you. Sin shall not be master over you. For you are not under law, but you are under grace. You might be thinking, man, he's reading these scriptures really slow today. These words are so magnificent that I want us to get this freedom in our hearts, because it's very important that we understand who we are in Christ. Amen? So that we can live like we should live. Romans 6:18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Free from sin, servants of righteousness. Now, in this chapter 8, and in this chapter 6, and also in chapter 8, Paul is using this language to the church people in Rome, and they would have rightly understood this language that he's talking about, especially concerning servants and sons as it relates to freedom. Okay? Because in those days, and I've read this somewhere, one of the highest occupations, what most people did in that time, in that area, was servanthood. And Rome had classes of people, but people would serve other people for various reasons, okay? But if you were born into servanthood, in other words, if your parents, if your mother was a servant, you were born into servanthood. You were now a servant. Unless or until the master granted you freedom, or until the master died. Okay? Those two things. Or unless your family paid off the debt, then you could be granted freedom. But you were automatically born into servanthood, into bondage, into slavery. We as humans were automatically born into sin. It's simply a result of the fall. Thanks, Adam and Eve. Not really. Even though we probably wouldn't have done a whole lot better, we entered this world in bondage, in sin. Just like the servant's child who would be born into servanthood automatically, we are too born into sin and death. Paul talks about this in Romans 5:12. He says, through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin. So death spread to all men because all sinned. And Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and... Yeah. So Paul uses this language to exemplify the freedom that we experience as Christians, because even though we were born in sin, Jesus paid the price to give us freedom. That and that alone, spiritual freedom, is worth celebration. Amen? We no more have that stain, those chains of bondage. We have a relationship and an eternity with the Father God. Paul continues in Romans 6:22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. You know, without that freedom, you don't have that. You don't get that. You don't get the everlasting life. Thank you, Lord, for that freedom. Now, I want us to also heed Paul's warning here. He says, don't fall into slavery again after you have been set free. Galatians 5:1 says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm. Folks, church, Keep standing firm. And do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. You know, there was a few times that the Israelites stopped, some of them, not all of them, some of the Israelites stopped during the journey into the wilderness, and they said, no, this isn't any fun. I'm ready to go back. Let's just go back to Egypt, folks. Even though they had no freedom, even though they were beaten, or even though they were overworked and the conditions were terrible, they had a comfort level with knowing and being familiar with that lifestyle instead of simply trusting God. Some of them would have gladly taken the yoke of slavery again because they were comfortable with it. They knew for sure where their food was going to come from and what they would be doing the next day. And beware that sin and bondage, this includes confusion, fear, and anxiety, that stuff is still out to get you. Beware, he says. Stand firm so you're not subject again to the yoke of slavery. 2 Peter 2:19 says this. For by what a man is overcome. So you may be saying, so what could I be slave to? What is my bondage? What could be bondage in a person's life these days? 2 Peter 2:19. For by what a man is overcome, whether that be fear, anxiety, or guilt, or shame, by this he is enslaved. Paul says another time, says, act like freedmen. I feel like Paul sometimes wants to get a little southern and say, for crying out loud, act like freedmen. You're free! Right? I say that to myself sometimes. Act like you're free, for goodness sakes. James 2:12 says, so speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. I don't have to be judged by the law of sin and death because I'm going to be judged by the law of freedom. Hallelujah. When these things, these sins and these bondage things like fear and anxiety, when they try to get back and sneak back into your lives, you remember, you realize what your freedom means and you tell them, say, I've got to act on spiritual truth, which says that I am free. God set me free. I am legally in the courtroom of God. I am legally free from that guilty verdict. As a matter of fact, and I'll tell Satan this myself, as a matter of fact, my dad is the judge. And he has to leave you alone because all of those verdicts against you have been nailed to a tree. They're gone forever. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:17, the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is. Where's the Spirit of the Lord? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. Act like freedmen. Slavery leads to fear. Don't be yoked up with that bondage anymore. Act like freedmen. So my challenge is to remember, realize and remember from what has God set you free. And there's other examples in the Bible too. I just hit on a few. What did God set you free from? We want to realize that so that we can better understand and appreciate and live by that freedom. Freedom from the verdict of sin. Freedom from the penalties of sin. Freedom from the guilt of sin. Freedom from our past. Freedom from fear. Our first verse said that Jesus was anointed to free those who are oppressed. We're free from oppression by Jesus himself. free from the laws regarding sin and death. In other words, these factors have no authority, no power over me in my life, because God, when He adopted me, He delivered me from those bondages that resulted at the fall of mankind. I'm now a son of God, set free from being born into sin, completely free again. Think about this. The initial penalty of sin in the Garden of Eden was the separation of God and man. God said, in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die. There was a spiritual death. And they were separated out of the holy place, the place where He met them in the Garden of Eden. There's a spiritual separation between God and man. And He called it death. The freedom from that law and that penalty means that now there is a reunion of that relationship. Amen? Do you get that? That law that separates us from God, we're free from that law now because of Jesus Christ. The blood that He shed, the sacrifice that He made, He reconciled our relationship with God. And now we can join together again. There's a reunion of that relationship. John 8:36 says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen? Will you stand with me, please? Before we pray, is there somebody that hasn't yet experienced that freedom and you'd like to experience that today? You want to give your life to Christ? You're not in that freedom yet? I want you to just raise your hand, and we're not going to be bashful around here. We're going to support you 100%. Matter of fact, we'll celebrate with you. Amen? Celebrate with you. Let me pray for you. I'd love to pray with you and invite you into the family of God today. If you're not, let me see your hand. If you're ready to join that freedom. Amen. All right. Now, after I dismiss, if there's people that would like to come and pray, Jill and I would love to pray with you. I want to share one more thing with you while I got you standing. This also has to do with freedom, but it's a little bit out of what the context was that I spoke on earlier, but I thought it's very interesting. I think you're going to get a kick out of this. The impact of the freedom of God. Back to Romans 8:18-21. He says, for I consider that the things suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation, that's the world, this earth, the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it. In hope, however, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free. You getting this? The creation itself will also be set free from its slavery to corruption or decay into the freedom of the glorious freedom of the children of God. Freedom of the glory of the children of God. I read that and I thought, you know what? The most green thing, the most healthy thing that I can do for our environment is introduce it back to the glory of the freedom of the children of God. Hallelujah. So I'm going out into the trees and the woods. Every time I go hunting or fishing, I'm just gonna pray freedom over this creation. works. I believe it works. I think that's what he's talking about. Isn't that crazy? A freedom so powerful and so impactful that the earth is longing for it. Hallelujah. Father God, we love you so much. We're so thankful. Goodness sakes, we're so thankful for all that you've done for us. Thank you for this freedom, this spiritual freedom that we have to come to you. We have the right and responsibility and the freedom to come directly into the throne room of our Father, God. I thank you for that. What an honor that is. Please remind me more and more what that entails and what that involves. Thank you, Lord, for that. And you know what else, God? Thank you for the freedom that we get to experience here in America, because I know a lot of people, a lot of countries all over the world do not get to experience this kind of freedom, and we are blessed, God, and I thank you for that. I thank you for the freedom that we get to experience here in America. And I pray that you would enlighten us more and more as we think about these scriptures and this topic. Just guide us more into that direction of how to be thankful for the freedom that we experience and how to tell others, tell our children and grandchildren about what we've been freed from so that we can properly live genuinely in your will. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.